Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly livestock market update. I'm Brownfield anchor reporter Megan Grebner. With us, as always, to talk all things markets is University of Missouri, Scott Brown. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
All treats, no tricks today ahead of Halloween, maybe?
No. Yeah. So mostly treats this today, that's for sure.
All right. So before we get into all of the fun stuff later on, let's recap what happened this week in the markets.
On the cattle side this week, live cattle were down almost a dollar this week, while those feeder cattle markets, some cases we had markets that had trouble operating this week with some of the ice that we saw in some parts of the country, but we were steady to $5 lower this week. On the futures side, we got a nice boost on cattle futures this week. The December live cattle futures contract was up $4.65 this week. The November feeder cattle futures contract was up $7.65 this week. I think some of that strength in feeder cattle futures this week had to do with what was another week of lower corn futures. That December corn futures contract was down 22 cents this week. So that I think that helped. When you look at the beef side of the equation, choice box beef prices were down $1.85 this week. Switching gears on the hog side, cash barrel and gilt prices were down nearly $4 this week. That December lean hog futures contract was also lower, down $1.50. The pork cutout value also lost nearly $9 this week. It's a pretty tough week for belly prices to give us some negative news to end on here.
Really, how much are we watching this whole global demand picture? We haven't heard a lot about what's been going on with African swine fever in Germany as of late. Is knowing that we are in this really active and heavy quarter for pork in general and demand uncertainty, is that just putting some pressure, additional pressure on prices as well?
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, a lot of folks that I've talked with over the last couple of weeks will always say, well, these prices are a lot better than I thought they were going to be this fall. And in fact, now we're getting the correction that maybe some had anticipated earlier on. And we've got a lot of positive news out of the trade side, but a little less news of late. And maybe the news that the Chinese hog herd is continuing to rebuild has dominated. And I remind us, there's just a lot of uncertainty to both sides of the story here in terms of what happens from a Chinese perspective. And so I think, again, there'll be days or weeks where we get some pretty good prices and other days or weeks where we get not so good news on the price side.
Let's talk slaughter for the week. Again, another solid week on the hog side of things, a little bit less on the beef side.
Yeah, you know, if you look at cattle slaughter, USDA is telling us for the week ending Op 31, we're going to be at 638,000 head of cattle slaughter. That's down 5,000 from a week ago. That's actually 21,000 down from a year ago. And so you're right that we've been kind of slowing up here on the cattle side of the equation. We're still running almost 4% behind year to date on cattle slaughter. And yes, much of that happened in the worst of the plant slowdown shutdowns, but still probably got a lot of cattle to deal with. On the hog side, a run of 2.683 million head this week. It's actually 11,000 more than where we were a week ago. So some better news. And again, we've got to keep hitting somewhere around 2.7 or so on hogs, I think, if we're going to try to at all keep current as we finish this year.
Really a quick week for us when it comes to report analysis and conversation. Restaurant Performance Index is the one big report that we have out this week. And a slight improvement for September from August.
Yeah, you know, that's right, Megan. And I think sometimes we forget because we get so focused on trade and the pluses of stronger export demand. I want to remind us that, golly, domestic demand has been amazingly good for many of our meat products here in 2020. And that's a little hard to imagine given all the issues related to COVID-19. We need that to continue. So as we look at the Restaurant Performance Index that we have out for September, that overall index was up a half a point in September relative to August. You know, we're getting roughly a little more than 50% or right about 50% of the decline that we saw from COVID-19 back at this point. I guess as I look at the makeup of the index for September, the thing that stuck out to me is I like what was a much stronger same store sales number that we got, up over 2.2 points from August to September in that same store sales category, which again drove a stronger current situation portion of that overall index. So to me, that's real. You know, we've talked a lot about expectations driving the restaurant performance index, and this month at least we're actually getting some that current situation being the stronger driver. So real sales data suggesting consumers are continuing to purchase a lot of meat products.
Just a reminder for viewers what that the same store sales represents, if producer or consumers are trying to think about that as it relates to purchases.
Yeah, you know, we're really looking at when we talk about that restaurant performance index, a survey of restaurant operators. And so those restaurant operators are giving us an indication of what their sales numbers look like. And so it's not new stores, it's that it's kind of same store sales number. So growth there tells us that they're moving more product out the door, is the very short answer. And that's been dragging maybe a little more. We had all this expectation about growth in sales, but at least in this September report, we're getting some actual indication that, yeah, we got current sales that are actually increasing. All good news and the kind of demand information that we need when we're talking about the growth in overall supplies that we have today.
Speaking of the kind of news we need, really the cherry on top for our conversation this week is talking about the GDP number.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so we got a 33.1% increase in third quarter GDP. Very good news. In terms of getting some recovery from the worst of COVID-19. I like to remind us that's gotten us about 75% of the decline back in GDP that we had from, you know, last spring shutdown. We'll say the glass is half full here in our conversation, at least, of it's nice to get 75% of it back. Now let's get the last 25 as we look forward. I think getting that last 25 will come a lot harder than getting the first 75 did, but it's certainly a move in the right direction. Maybe that helps to explain just how strong we've seen meat demand be when you see that kind of GDP number.
I don't think I can let you leave today without addressing what is coming up this week before we talk next Friday. Not just Halloween tomorrow, but we also have the election coming up on Tuesday. Massively impressed with the amount of early voting that's going on. But there's been talk that we may not have a clear-cut winner Tuesday evening when everybody goes to bed. You may not have it Wednesday morning. How does that potentially impact the markets, and not just broader markets, but what's going on the livestock and maybe some of the things that can impact agricultural markets as well?
Yeah, so I do think we're going to see markets on edge waiting for what's ultimately the outcome of this election. And the longer it drags out in terms of figuring out a winner, I think the more on edge markets may become. So for those that are in the very short run here, I'd remind them that you know, if this drags out for several days, I don't even want to say weeks, I'm just going to say several days, that certainly could create some periods of volatility that we don't anticipate. You know, I guess as I kind of look at this, a couple things stick out to me. If you think about, we still don't have an FY21 federal budget in place. We just had a CR that gets us through the early part of December. We're gonna have to come back and do something or talk about a government shutdown. And maybe equally important to this discussion is federal stimulus. Are we gonna see another round of federal stimulus after the elections? How long does that all take to happen? Does it happen in lame duck? Does it happen in the next legislative session? There's a lot of uncertainty that needs to be decided. And that's not so much about who wins or loses, as it's just things that have to be done. regardless of who's in charge. And if we drag those things out too long, that won't be good news for markets generally.
And just a reminder, in that continuing resolution was mandatory livestock reporting, correct?
That is correct. And exactly where that goes in has to be dealt with again by, in some fashion, by early December. Of course, they could choose another short-term extension of a number of these things, but they also could talk about a longer-term deal as well. I'm curious where that one goes as well. And I will say all along, we need to continue to have these livestock and meat prices reported. Markets that don't have that information can certainly struggle knowing where correct prices, correct in quotation prices, really are at any point in time. So it is important to get LMR done.
Scott, that'll do it for us this week. As we look ahead to next Friday, not only will we potentially be talking about election results, but some other big reports for us as well.
Yeah, that's right. So we get monthly trade data out next Thursday, and we finish next week with a jobs report. So a little more on the demand side of the equation.
Sounds fantastic. Have a great Halloween. Happy Halloween. Are you dressing up?
I am dressing up, as a matter of fact. Actually have a wedding to go to where it's a Halloween wedding. So it will be a fun weekend in the Brown household.
Very exciting. And just a friendly reminder, if you have not yet voted, go out and exercise your civic duty on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. To have our weekly livestock market update delivered to your inbox every Saturday morning, visit our website, brownfieldagnews.com. You can submit questions and comments there as well. And for some of the really great Brownfield podcasts, visit our website, brownfieldagnews.com/podcast. Have a great weekend. I'm Megan Grebner on Brownfield.